Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Welcome back to the show, friends. As you can see, it's not going to be a great one because it's just me and Harrington. But you got it. First 5 seconds, you got to shit on Harrington. That's what I've learned. Mike runs this ship. This is his ship. I don't do real well in this position. But I did learn that in the first at least 5 minutes, you have to shit on Harrington. So we'll get that out of the way in the first 5 minutes. Today, it is just going to be me and the boys. Mike's been traveling. He's been working his ass off. He's been all over the place. So let Mike have a personal day. He's got some personal things he's got to take care of. So we're going to get one out for you guys. Obviously, it's not going to be the same without Mike, but we're going to do our best here. We're going to hang out. So I'm here in Salt Lake City. I'm getting ready to start working the broadcast for the show tomorrow. I'm going to go to the presser. I got a really good friend of mine here too. So we're going to check out Salt Lake City. That's really all I got going on, Harrington. I've been in Denver. Been traveling my ass off too. I've been in Denver, and then, you know, it was my birthday yesterday.
Was it? Oh, yesterday. Shit. Yeah, happy so birthday, man.
I went to the lake last weekend.
Hey, happy birthday.
Yeah. I didn't send you a text or nothing.
Yeah, it's okay. You guys hate me. It's not a big deal.
You know,
so I'm 35 years old. It's crazy, man. There was once upon a time I didn't know that I was going to make it to even my 30s. So 35 is an odd age.
I turned 36 on Friday. So
no shit. I get it. Well, I'll actually send you a text and tell you happy birthday and like you guys, but no, it's wild, man. It's just, I don't know. I think some people get nervous about getting older and, you know, don't like it, but it's just, it's wild to me. Life seems to get better and better the older I get, and I'm just happy to still be here. So there's that. Yeah. Training camp's going well. Feeling really, really good. I'm just, it's some really good place overall in life. Kind of, I don't know, trying to focus on the positives and cut out the negatives. Harrington, how you been?
I've been absolutely golden. Had a weekend away with my girl all weekend. Got to spend some time as a couple. That was great. My mom's in town now, so I have a built-in babysitter for like
She moved closer?
No. But she just missed the baby so much that she came up to. She got in Monday morning, and it's been every morning she wakes up, does the like first change of the day, and then all morning with the baby. There's nothing like it. Because the baby is just so happy at all times now when like there's a grandparent around. So I could just check
it's a
in.
It's a different connection that grandparents have with the grandkids have with the grandparents. It's a different, relationship. It's probably the thing I miss most about my mom is, you know, the kids,
her around your kids.
The kids just loved her, man. But she's like your typical grandma, like, buy them whatever the fuck they want, do whatever they want, they eat an ice cream for breakfast. There was no rules, right? So, that's probably the thing I missed the most. So live that up, Harrington. Brian, hell yeah. Come say hi, friend.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing?
We've been up to. I feel like it's been forever since I've seen you guys.
Oh, well, it's been a little while, but, you know, we try to stay busy while we're not rolling out BYM. You know, I showed you with the other show that I'm working on. It's a little bit different than this one.
I cannot wait to get on that show. They need to have me on as a guest for sure.
I am definitely going to make that happen. That's it's going to be a ton
Leave
of fun.
Leave it to Brian to have the most successful porn podcast in the world. I love it.
Working it's called Just the Tips, but we're not here to plug my kind of stuff.
That's okay.
We got fights this weekend.
We do got fights this weekend. Man, I'm really excited for the presser, to be honest. I'm excited to see who's going to be on the dais. Like, you know, we were talking at the beginning of this, Derek Lewis not on the main card. That's how you know a card's fire, when you don't have Derek Lewis on the main card.
That is true, but it is is Derek Lewis off the main card because of his, I mean, was he has a string of losses at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's still super popular. And, you, and even when he loses, he's exciting. So
absolutely.
You would think, I really just think like at this point, you know, if you want to, like, I mean, who do we who's starting the card, Harrington? It's
Chiesa versus Kevin Holland.
Yeah, I mean, that's got a lot of divisional, you know, implications in it. And then you got Bobby Green and Tony Ferguson, I think, is right after that. Like, it's tough. You get a Bobby Green, Tony Ferguson. Anytime you put Tony on, he gets a main card spot. That's just, we can say what we want about Tony's, you know, kind of last little streak of his career. But at the end of the day, Tony's an OG. He's been around for a long time, so he's always going to get a main card spot.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I'm looking at Tony Ferguson at plus 310. This is the same guy who was absolutely taking it to Michael Chandler, what, like a year ago? I mean,
his last fight.
Yeah. So
it's like, with his hands.
Like 100%, I'm sitting there like, yo, am I watching the Indian summer of Tony Ferguson right now? And then out of nowhere, the head kick that turned him into a meme. But it's like, I don't know, dude. What that guy who was there for that first round of Michael Chandler should not be a plus 300 underdog to anyone.
There's some juicy lines on here for sure. I just, when you were talking about it, I looked him up. Like, you get Derek Lewis at plus money. Like, this just doesn't happen very often. You know what I mean? Of course, at the top of the division, he's had some struggles, but getting Derek Lewis at plus money is a big deal. Getting Tony Ferguson at a plus three, whatever it is right now, damn, and it's only going to go higher too. Especially like, if you've noticed Tony, when Tony does his media days, the lines always get much larger because people are like, "Oh shit, Tony's crazy. You definitely bet against Tony." And I'm the opposite. Tony's a little bit. I don't know. I don't like calling him crazy because I like Tony a lot. I have a lot of respect for Tony. I for his journey, for his trials and tribulations, some, you know, his personal stuff. Like, he always shows up to fight. Doesn't always win, especially recently, but he always shows up to fight. So I hate calling him crazy. But when he's just wired different. I don't think that that's disrespectful to say. You know what I mean? It's just, look at this. Is this where he does the front flip too or something? Oh, no. Yes, I love this. The corner at the time called for, like, show him sand, and he like picked up the sand and like threw it out. And I don't know what to call it. I don't know if Tony would be disrespected if I said he's just wired a little bit different than the rest of us. I don't think he'd be upset if he heard me say that. But the more, I don't know, free and out there Tony is, I think, before fights, the better his performances seem to be. I notice when he's a little bit irritated or angry and doesn't want to do any of the media, and he just seems very closed off, is when we don't seem to get the best Tony. But he seems in this week that he's been very forthcoming. He's been very open. Says five fights and a title. So, I mean, that's a motivated Tony Ferguson. I don't know what the fight's going to look like, but it's a winnable fight for sure. I have as much respect for Bobby Green as I do Tony Ferguson. Honestly, I've known Bobby Green since the Strikeforce days. There's not that many of us left from Strikeforce. So I have a unique bond with Bobby Green, but this is a really competitive fight, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, as you know, similar to Tony Ferguson, to know Bobby Green is to love Bobby Green, right? Like, this is a guy who was, he was 100% giving it to Dustin Poirier. I think it was UFC 199 before he got caught and knocked out. You see what Dustin Poirier has gone on to do. And it's like, I don't know, man, like the anytime Bobby Green fights, it's super exciting, but it's like it could end at any moment one way or the other, you know? So I definitely do think
Bobby's one of those guys that there's not that many out there for me. Bobby's one of those guys that if he's fighting, it's a big deal for me. It's like, a lot of times we're watching the events from a green room or somewhere like in the back, you know what I mean? Where I'm not out in the crowd or whatever. If I'm at an event and Bobby Green's fighting, you can bet your ass I'm walking to the octagon and I'm going to sit cage side because it's like something that I have to witness and be a part of and feel that energy. You know, it's, there's not that many guys like that for me. And Bobby Green's absolutely one of those guys.
Oh yeah. I'm super excited for that
fight. I feel like we can't just gloss over, before we keep going, like the Chiesa Kevin Holland fight either.
No, I mean, that's
That's a big deal.
Is it weird to you at all, Chiesa, like, using the time he's had with the media to address issues with Kevin Lee? He's been talking about, to me at least, it seems, he's been talking about everybody but Kevin Holland.
What did he say about Kevin Lee?
Kevin Holland fight. He said that there was some beef there, and Kevin Lee was selling Wolf tickets because I think Chiesa was booked to fight Li Jingliang at one point, and Kevin mm-hmm. Lee was like, "Look, I called Dana White and said I would have filled in short notice," and Chiesa's like, "Absolutely not. If that call ever happened, I would have beaten the crap out of Kevin Lee. Hell, if Kevin Lee walks through this door right now, I'll start fighting him just on sight. But as far as I'm concerned, he's retired, and that's where he's going to stay."
Well, you remember the press conference beef.
Mm-hmm. Talking about his mom.
When Kevin Lee was talking. Well, I don't even know if he was talking about his mom. Whatever he said, it had something to do with Chiesa's mom, and Chiesa flipped out, which I totally get, because that would have been me too.
Don't talk about my mom, for one. Don't you ever talk about my mom. Don't you ever talk about my fucking mom. Don't you ever talk about my fucking mom.
I'm a dad, I want to get in the middle. Like, whatever you want to call it.
I'm going to smack the fuck out of you right now. Don't you ever talk about my mom.
Yeah,
don't you
ever talk about my mom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going
on? But I think it's about as much grappler versus striker as you're going to get, in my opinion. I wish Kevin Holland would use his grappling a little bit more. He's like a legitimate Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Like, legit. Mm-hmm. Like, he knocked out Jacare from his back, absolutely unthreatened by Jacare's top game. Like, that's nasty. That's super nasty. Like, it, not only was he unthreatened by his top game, he was talking shit to him the whole time. It's crazy. I think it's a really, and I don't think it's going to be as simple as Chiesa getting a takedown and just, I don't know, just controlling Kevin. He's not the, you know, I guess Derek Brunson did it, but Chiesa is a bit of a different grappler than Brunson is.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like Holland, since that Brunson fight and since like that book was out on him where he kept getting taken down and had absolutely no defense for it, I feel like we have seen a different Kevin Holland, in the sense that like he's way more, he's way less likely to just allow himself to be kept there, right? He's stopped accepting positions as much. And I do feel, you know, he's at the very least worked on his get-ups quite a bit. So I don't know, like that becomes a thing where Chiesa coming in off a 2-year layoff, how much of a gas tank does this guy have at altitude to keep pursuing these takedowns?
That's something that gets missed, and it got missed the entire last Salt Lake City card, that it's at altitude. And I think that had a lot to do with Leon Edwards's lackluster performance at the beginning of that fight through the first four rounds. I think he kind of gassed himself in the first, thinking he was going to get a finish when he took Usman's back. And you just seen a different, you know, a different kind of group of fighters. A lot of them struggle. And I don't think a lot of people really, don't think altitude when you think Salt Lake City. I don't know why. I think that's going to really play into the Derek Lewis fight, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
It's probably not a place you put a bunch of heavyweights, that's for sure. It's like Denver, Salt Lake City, and Mexico City. It's probably where you don't put a bunch of heavyweights.
I was going to ask, have you noticed, like, can you tell the difference between Denver and Salt Lake City?
No, I can't tell. But I've been in altitude for, you know, a while. So yeah. I can't really tell the difference. But I'm sure that, like, when I first get to Denver, for the first couple of weeks, I got wicked headaches. And it's really the dehydration is the issue. It's like at altitude, you have a really tough time staying hydrated, especially when you're training and stuff. So what's going to be really tough on some of these guys for the weight cut too, if they're not used to the altitude, when they're training through the week, you know, it can really, you got to time your dehydration of your weight cut. You don't want to be dehydrated on Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, you can start sucking yourself down on Thursday and then Friday morning, but you know, that, I guess longer period of dehydration can cause an issue, because then it takes longer to rehydrate come Friday night or whatever. So I don't know what's after the, so we got Kevin Holland, Chiesa, then we got Bobby Green,
Tony Ferguson. Then Wonder Boy Thompson versus Michel Pereira.
That's my fucking fight of the night right there.
Right.
I mean, I could sit here and we could talk X's and O's or whatever, but I think we all know how that's going to go. It's going to be a bunch of spinning, flying, circling, front flipping, head kicking, you know, hook kicking, weird stuff going on there. I do think, you know what? I've always said that this would be the perfect matchup for Wonderboy to really dig deeper in his bag of tricks. I've trained a lot with him. He's a decent grappler. He's a really decent. He's a decent grappler. He's really good on the fence. He's really good on the cage, especially offensively, like on the outside. And he's got a pretty decent top game. He stays pretty safe. He's got good control. He moves well. He scrambles well. I mean, he spent almost his entire MMA career with Chris Weidman. I mean, you can't spend that much time with Chris Weidman and not have a fantastic, at least defensive grappling game. But like, he's not bad on the ground. I don't know why he retracts from it like a cat from water so much, because his takedown defense is incredible. You know, it hasn't really showed, as I think he's been dealing with some injuries and whatever, but he was only taken down, I think, until he fought Tyron Woodley. He'd only been taken down, I think Matt Brown took him down a couple times early in his career. And I think he wasn't taken down again until Tyron Woodley in those two fights with him.
Yeah, I think you're correct about that.
It's a Division I All-American, and he only took him down once in each fight. So I don't know. I think it was once. Maybe I'm just speaking out my ass, but
yeah. I mean, the only guy who got him down, Burns got a couple, and then Bilal Muhammad.
Bilal got a bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses. Bilal's a fantastic wrestler, but if I remember right, I do think Steven did come out and talk about maybe some injuries, and his body looked a little bit different in that fight. You could tell maybe he wasn't able to train the way that he wanted to, because he did look a little heavier, but he looks lean and mean this week for sure.
Yeah. Man, this is, I don't know, like now that does bring in a whole other interesting wrinkle into it, because I assumed this fight was going to be fought primarily a distance and it was just whoever was going to land the
oh, it's probably going to be. It's probably going to be.
But, you know, you are making a good point. Like Thompson does do a good job in the clinch up against the fence, where I haven't seen Pereira, lean towards that.
He doesn't do well there at all.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He doesn't tend to spend much time on the fence. And if I was Steven, I would spend more time. And at least, you know, again, no disrespect, Wonder Boy is not a young man. Mm-mm. He's not. He may be, you know, incredibly handsome and young looking. that's a 40-some-year-old dude. He's right at 40.
Yeah.
You know, if he wanted to take some of the steam and some of the speed and I don't know, just the athleticism. If he wants to slow some of that down, I think spending the first round really in the clinch and push him up against the wall and making him work and even the threat of the clinch game and the wrestling, maybe not wrestling, but fighting in the clinch, I think the threat of that would make Michelle have to think a little bit more. I think that would do wonders for Wonder Boy.
And that's a guy who has had his own gas tank issues before in the past, like really, really struggling in the latter parts of fights there. So, yeah, dude, the deeper water that Thompson can take him to, even as the older guy. Yeah, I do think that that would play pretty strongly.
I think it'd be beneficial. Yeah, I think it'd be beneficial. I don't know that he will. I doubt that. I'm sure he's got another striker in there that's willing to just stand with him the entire time. He doesn't get those kind of matchups as often as he'd like. So he's got two in a row. I don't think he's going to waste one grappling probably, but you know, I think that it would do wonders for him.
Yeah. But towards the end of that Kevin Holland fight though, Holland was the one who was like, I'm not going to the ground at all. And then Thompson was the one who was like, look, if you're just going to give me these takedowns, like I'm pretty sure Wonderboy did land a takedown or two against Kevin Holland, or at the very least followed him down to the ground. So yeah, I see the path there.
I was flying through your notes earlier.
Uh-huh.
And there's one of them. Hold on. Where is it?
Which one?
I don't know. What happened to him here? Harrington?
I don't know. I haven't sent you notes since last week, so I'm going to check that one. Yeah, no, yeah.
You sent them on Monday, fool.
Oh, yeah. Monday. My bad.
What are you talking? That's not last week.
I know.
What are we doing here? Get your Batcave shit together.
Yeah, dude. I got a whole supercomputer.
Look at you in the Batcave back there. You're like, yeah, I'm just hanging out down here. Me and Bruce Wayne.
Dude. Yeah, dude. Chill. Chill.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break to thank one of our sponsors, 10,000. 10,000 makes the world's best men's training gear and the only training shorts you'll ever need. 10,000 training shorts are designed with purpose and packed with premium details. Every piece of 10,000 gear has been put through countless hours of field testing with elite athletes to deliver ultimate performance, comfort, and durability, all backed by an ironclad lifetime guarantee. I love these shorts. I wear them all the time. They're just super comfortable. They have four-way stretch for max range of motion. sweat wicking and quick drying materials, and optimal anti-chafe liner, which is super important, especially if you're working out and you're training or whatever. I think everyone out there can understand why that'd be important. They have 36,000 five-star reviews, and 10,000 makes the highest quality, best fitting, and most comfortable training shorts that I've ever worn. If you're looking to upgrade your training gear, go to 10,000.cc and use code BELIEVE for 15% off your entire order. That's TENTHOUSAND.cc with code BELIEVE to get 15% off your entire order. Oh, Big Tom. Got to talk about Big Tom.
Do love Big Tom.
I love Tom.
And I mean, there's literally only one question I had coming away from the UFC London card. Okay, and that was who you guys both wanted to see Paul Craig fight next. Because, ooh, man, did he look good at 185, dude. Woo!
Man, he looked incredible. And he looked healthy. He looked strong. And a lot of people probably haven't seen. He's not a small dude. I was really questioning his decision to go to 185. But he didn't look. He looked like he did it the right way. He looked healthy. He looked lean, but not like sucked out and unhealthy, you know. I thought physically looked great, and what a win over such a dangerous jiu-jitsu guy. I know that he called out Bo Nickel. I don't think he's gonna get that one.
No shot.
There's no shot. There's no shot. I mean, he just blasted his way into the rankings, I think. I would imagine he's probably ranked now.
He's gotta be.
This has to be. So, and if he's not, he should be. I don't know. You know, I think I would like to see him get another. I don't want to say an easier fight, but let him maybe fine tune his weight cut and just be able to feel it again. I hope he gets a quick turnaround so he doesn't have to go through the putting the weight on and then getting it back off again. It'd be nice to be able to keep his weight somewhat low and in training and whatever. But did anyone stand out to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I was going to say Roman Dolidze, but he just got booked against Derek Brunson.
Yeah, I like that fight a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the only other two are the guys at 10 and 11, either Jack Hermanson or the battle of the rear naked battle of the chokes. Brendan Allen would be a hell of a scrap.
See, but I don't think Brendan Allen's going to take a fight with anybody below him.
Yeah.
It's how it sounded. Brendan Allen is a unique character too. He's one of the few younger up and comers who's very deliberate and very smart about the matchups that he takes. He would rather not fight than take a matchup that doesn't 100% absolutely benefit his career, which when you say it like that, you're like, duh, why would you? But that's not really how our industry works. You know, like, I don't know. Sometimes you got to take fights just to continue to stay active. Guys need to make money. They don't want to sit on the shelf for long periods of time, you know.
Armin Sarukian fighting, you know, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's right. Like, it was strictly because Moicano got hurt and nobody else wanted to fight the guy.
Right. And Brendan, he only wants to take fights that are going to get him continuing to step up that ladder towards a title fight. He's not willing to just to fight, which I respect a lot, actually. But with that said, that does limit his ability to fight people because he's only going to take fights above him. So,
man, it would be a fun fight, though.
It would be a really fun fight. And I like the Hermanson fight. I like that one a lot. I'm excited for Paul's run at 185 and see what he can do. Cause I think he matches up really well with a lot of the guys in that division.
Yeah, for sure.
What about Big Tom? Where's he go next?
Dog. I don't know. I mean, look, Ciryl Gane said, you know, he'll be waiting for the winner of, you know, because Tom did say after the fight he wants the winner of, I think it's Sergey Spivak is fighting Ciryl Gane.
Mm-hmm.
Tom already has the win over Spivak, so I got to assume he thinks Ciryl Gane is going to make it out of that, and then he thinks that'll
love
be.
To see that.
I mean, there's a very large part of me that's like, why isn't anybody saying Sergey Pavlovich's name?
No, I love the Tom Ciryl Gane fight.
Yeah.
I love that. I absolutely love it. But the Spivak matchup is not the easiest matchup in the world for Ciryl Gane.
No. I'll be honest with you. Does Ciryl versus Tom sounds fun on paper. Sure.
It does.
Right? It's exciting. It's two big names for the heavyweight division.
I think Tom probably smokes him.
I think Tom walks through Ciryl Gane.
Yeah, I think Tom smokes. No, maybe not smokes him, but I think he gets through it fairly untouched.
I mean, I think Tom is faster. I know Tom has better wrestling. Definitely better has better grappling.
Definitely.
I just don't. I don't see in any edge you can give to Cyril. I don't think Cyril Gane's a heavier hitter than
he's
Tom
a better he's a better kicker.
Sure,
for sure. He's not nearly as mobile as Cyril Gane is, obviously. But that's just not his style. It's not. I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't say that. That's a negative. It's just not his game. But I think that Tom is the better boxer, for sure. He's a better wrestler, better grappler. He's more experienced. Maybe not necessarily like combat sports as a whole, but in this whole, I don't know, high level MMA game, I think that I would give the experience to him. As it, you know, Cyril's been in there with some good guys, but a lot of the matchups have favored him. So it's like he's just in a kickboxing match anyways. So yeah, I hope good. I just want good things to happen to Tom. Don't want him to rush it, but I do like the Cyril Gane fight.
Speaking of rushing it, did you see Michael Bisping's quote about Tom's chances against John Jones?
What'd he say?
He said that, you know, let me look up the exact quote, but it was essentially like, John Jones is incredible, but he's got nothing for Tom Aspinall.
Well, you know, Michael loves his UK guys. You know, he's not wrong, though. He is incredible. And it is an interesting matchup because here's what people are saying, that John Jones is going to smoke Stipe, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not going to sit here and tell you who I think is going to win right now because I haven't sat down and just dug deep into the tapes. I'm not just going to speak out of my ass, but I will say the Stipe creates a bunch of different problems for John that are new. I think that Stipe is faster. I think that he's used to carrying that weight because that's naturally how big he is. I think that there's a little bit of Stipe being so disconnected from the sport that there isn't the like a lot of people do lose before they get to John. There's the aura of John. There's the,
right, the Mike Tyson factor.
Yeah. But Stipe is that guy too. Mm-hmm. So like are two emperors going to be thrown off by each other? Unlikely. Then it's just two guys. They're just two normal dudes. So it's not like one guy is reaching to the top of the mountain to try to scrape and claw and get what the king has. That, because that's what happens with guys like John and guys like Stipe and DC and like Mighty Mouse and GSP. Like they had that effect where it was like the peasants below the king were trying to climb up and take the king's shit. That's not the case here. This is two kings. Like Stipe doesn't give a shit what John has. He wants to win the fight, and he's fighting for legacy, but he doesn't need that title. He's already had it. You know what I mean? It's not like something.
Twice.
It's not like burning in his soul that he needs that. You know. Yeah. So these guys are fighting for legacy. This isn't. They're both rich. You know what I mean? They're both legends. They're both, you know, future
first ballot Hall of Famers. Yeah.
Well, John's already in the Hall of Fame for the fight, so like, this is a legacy thing. So I think that the mindset that Stipe has, because he is so disconnected from the sport, he doesn't really give a shit about John. I think that makes a difference for sure. I don't know how much of a difference, but it plays a part for sure. I think that his unique style of wrestling and boxing, I think do create a different problem for John that he's had to deal with in the past. The power advantage definitely goes to Stipe for sure. The reverse striking goes to John, but you know, Stipe's got the power advantage. He can go five hard. We know that for a fact. We've seen him do it. We don't know that John can go five hard at heavyweight. I suspect he can, but we don't know that. Where I'm going with this, in my opinion, Tom Aspinall is a younger, very similar version to Stipe. He's younger. He's got equally, you know, dangerous wrestling. Like, I think the wrestling is very similar. Tom's a better grappler, you know, when it comes to the submission threat. It's not really Stipe's game. It's not that he can't do it. It's not his style. But I look at Tom Aspinall like a younger, you know, more diverse version of Stipe. So I don't disagree with Bisping that I do think that Tom Aspinall creates an interesting problem for John. But so Tom makes a couple mistakes that bother me, though. There's a couple. Sometimes he's too willing to kind of throw caution to the wind in the pocket a little bit and just throw with people. And he does tend to leave his chin up a little bit in some of those exchanges. Those are easy problems to fix, you know, but I just hope that he is, I hope that he does address them. Cause even in his last fight, he won those striking exchanges, but you know, someone that's a little tighter in their boxing, a little bit better head movement, covers a little bit better and returns faster. You know, I think Tom takes a couple of shots that he didn't need to take there. So, he's young, you know what I mean? He's got lots of time. He's got, I'm sure his team, his dad does a really great job. I'm sure they're going to look at that, but those things do stand out to me, and I can guarantee that they stand out to guys like John Jones and guys like Stipe.
Right. Yeah, I know. It is. It's crazy to like process that Tom was supposed to make his debut on the card where Leon Edwards was going to fight Tyron Woodley in London. So I think that was like March of 2020. So it's like,
yeah, it was when the pandemic hit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you know, we're talking, this guy's UFC career is barely 3 years old, and he's lost almost a year of that to injury. So it's like to be as far as he is and to be having these conversations when he's this new to the sport is, I mean, A, it's remarkable, but B, yeah, like you do kind of lose sight of,
I wouldn't
like,
say he's new to the sport. He's been training a long time.
Not new to the sport, new to the organization is
for
what
sure.
I mean. My bad.
For sure. No, yeah. For sure. And I wouldn't argue with Michael Bisping. It's not on this. I'll argue with Mike as much as I can, but not on this one, because I do think that Tom's ceiling is really high. He just needs a little more time. You know what I mean? He gets better and better. I mean, look how good he looked coming off an injury. Mm. I thought he looked great. Far be it me to sit here and critique him, you know, sitting on the couch, but you know, that's my job, and those are the couple things that I've seen, and I'm sure that he'll have that shored up pretty quick.
Right. Just for context, because I know Bisping would bite my head off if not. His exact quote is, John Jones is a heavyweight champion. He's an incredible fighter. He's incredible. He's one of the greatest of all time. I don't think he can hold a candle to Tom. I think Tom will do the same thing to John Jones as what he did to Marcin Tybura. I don't think there's anyone that can stop Tom Aspinall. He's that good.
Wow.
High praise from Bisping.
That's incredible praise from Bisping. I don't know.
The same thing to Tybura?
I don't know about that. And can Tom win? For sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Tom Aspinall can beat anybody in the world. I don't know if I would say that John Jones couldn't hold a candle to Tom Aspinall, though. This is the greatest of all time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
That is how you gas up your boy, though.
That he deserves all that praise. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, I don't have any, like, can't sit here and break down the X's and the O's and tell you why Michael's wrong. Because he might not be, you know what I mean? But I do think that that's a competitive fight, no matter who wins, for sure.
I'm just saying, if he is calling the Singapore card, which it seems like he is, if he doesn't jump on the post fight show and compare you to, like, you know, a young Shogun, or you know, talk about how, you know, Chuck Liddell in his prime couldn't hold a candle to you, then he's,
if he
doing
doesn't
a
call me prime
here.
Rampage there after my fight. Yeah. Me and Michael are going to be having an argument for sure. There'll be no post-fight drinks with me and Michael Bisping if he doesn't compare me to somebody incredible. He has to. If he doesn't come out of that saying, listen, there's no goddamn way Mike Tyson would hold a candle to Anthony in his prime. He needs to say that or I'm going to be upset.
I love it.
All right, Harrington, what's going on in your world? What do you want to talk about?
A couple big ones. UFC 294. Mm-hmm. Had not one, not two, but three fights announced at the top of the Abu Dhabi card. It is, in fact, going to be Charles Oliveira rematching Islam Makhachev. I think it's going to be like a day short of a year to the day after he lost the title. Mm-hmm. And then the co-main event, Khamzat versus Paulo Costa, who
what
is
a goofy little matchmaking ordeal that was,
right?
It's like, Costa was supposed to fight somebody else who's actually fighting on this card.
Yes.
They pull Costa. And I kind of feel for Costa a little bit because he had the Whitaker ordeal, and he showed up way overweight. And so people are like, well, he's not fighting. They pull him from the fight. They fill that fight with someone else. And then everyone shits on Paulo. Like, oh, you're so unprofessional. You're not fighting. You're not signing. And the whole time, they pulled him for a fight with Khamzat. So like, he kind of got, I mean, it's sort of his fault.
Oh, excuse me. How so?
Well, because
of the Whitaker fight?
Because he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't deserve it because he has had some issues in the past. But this one was not his fault. So I do kind of feel for him a little bit, like, you know, he kind of got shit on for a little while and whatever. But and what was the other one?
Ikram Aliaskarov versus Nazruddin Imavov. Aliaskarov was the guy who Costa was supposed to be fighting this weekend.
Right, you're right. Those two were supposed to fight on this card.
It is nuts. You look at this card and you're like, where the hell were they going to fit a Paulo Costa fight? Like, this card is already so oversized.
It's so deep. I'm excited. You know what else I'm excited for?
What's that?
Not going to Abu Dhabi.
No?
Is it this life-size Barbie Hamzat Chimaev?
What is this?
Paulo Costa is the best troll on the internet. That's all I gotta say.
He is the best troll. He doesn't miss at all.
The white belt for Izzy.
He doesn't miss at all. That was a good one. The white belt for Izzy was a good one. It didn't work out in the end. It would have been way better had he won that fight. Whatever. No, what are we looking at here, Brian?
Why isn't it showing up? This is insane. It's on my screen. It's another. There it is.
No, no way.
Yeah.
He says he makes all these memes and pictures himself too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says he does it all himself.
That explains why he hasn't had a fight in 18 months. He's too busy memeing.
He's busy. He's like taking media marketing classes so make memes.
Yeah, dude, he's become a graphic designer.
What's going on in the regular world?
Let's see here. Okay, this could be kind of interesting. Hong Kong's health minister has advocated for citizens to stare at people smoking in public areas to shame the country, essentially, out of the habit of smoking.
I fucking dare you.
That's not going to work.
No?
No.
So the idea is, like, there's certain public areas, like, you know how there's, like, signs, like, outside of hospitals that are, like, no smoking area, and you always see, like, a nurse smoking a cigarette in front of one? Yeah. The idea is, like, in those areas where it's clearly marked, like, you as, like, we agree as the public, you can't smoke here. This is where, you know, we need everybody while someone's smoking there to just grill them.
So it's just in no smoking areas.
Yeah. They're like, we can't send cops around to all this. But to be fair, a lot of the country is like a no smoking area. Like, pretty much any public space is a no smoking area.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a weird way to go about it, though. Yeah. Like, just shame them.
Yeah.
Shame them.
It's like, all right, so you're going to have, if you have 40 people staring at you while you're smoking a cigarette.
Brian would give a shit if someone's staring at him. He doesn't care.
We need more shame in this country.
Yeah, Brian's not going to care. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm smoking this cigarette. Flick his cigarette butt at him and go on with his business.
That's it.
I don't think you can do that to 40 of them, though.
That's true.
They only come with 20 in a pack, but I could get a second.
Hey, speaking of shaming people for smoking in public areas, okay, I got this so my best friend is going to Singapore with me, and he is a chewer, like he chews tobacco, and he sends me this screenshot of all the rules and regulations for Singapore, and he
can't spit.
You can't do like anything. Like, you're not supposed to have chewing tobacco, you can't litter, don't spit your gum out, like apparently they're pretty strict.
Oh, yeah. You'll get, like, I think, isn't that what the guy got caned for back in the day? For spitting?
I don't know. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look up the rules.
Well, they don't cane people anymore these days, but it does cost $1,000 if you want to spit on the sidewalk.
Are you serious?
That's what it says here.
I'm not much of a spitter, but I feel like if we're giving $1,000 fines for people spitting on the sidewalk, I'm going to rack up fines for a whole bunch of other shit pretty quick, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like, here
absolutely no marijuana, which again isn't, I don't really care because it's not my thing, but like, how much trouble would you get in if you had some weed in Singapore?
So I know a lot of those countries, they will, like, they treat every narcotic the same, and they treat it as like a everything that you have on you, they count it as like you're a drug dealer, like, so it's, they're no personal use.
I take back what I said before about them not caning people anymore.
Yeah, they're still caning people.
They are for sure still caning people.
So what is caning? What is it? So
they take a fucking, they take like a sugar cane and whip the fuck out of you with it.
I fucking dare you to try.
I swear to God. drug offenders could face up to 30 years in jail and 15 strokes of the cane for possession of 8 types of narcotics, including cannabis.
What are the other 7?
It's got to be opium.
I mean, I'm sure. I'll be back.
30 years?
Yeah. Well, like, because I know I used
that
to.
Seems a little bit crazy. I don't do drugs. I'm such a weirdo when I smoke weed, so I can't. I just, I'm a weirdo. I'm a creep.
All right. Yeah. So I mean, the rest of these make sense, though. Opium, morphine, diamorphine, more forms of weed, cocaine, and meth.
No meth.
No, I ain't going.
I didn't see ecstasy on there.
So I'll lose my shit.
I'll go party and
spit on the side. If I spit on the sidewalk and someone tries to hit me with a cane or something, I'd be so pissed.
They hit you with like $1,000 fine. What do they do at that point? If you get like a fine in another country.
No, I'm leaving.
Yeah. How are they ever going to enforce that?
I don't know. I'm not paying it.
They might take your passport at the police station. Ooh. Until you're,
okay, that would suck.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna mess around. They're gonna start calling. Like, I'm gonna end up stuck in Singapore, like in some weird ass jail. They're gonna call me Anthony Brittany Griner Smith.
Check your backpack before you get on the plane. Yeah.
I would have to have. I would have to call old Biden, beg him to get me out of jail.
I don't know if he's taking calls these days.
He's not calling. He's not answering my phone call. That's for sure. He's like, we're not gonna make any deals for this idiot.
Yeah,
they're not giving up terrorists for me. I'll tell you that.
Mm-mm. No, what do you think the
should be in the WNBA, my dude?
What level of offender would they give up to trade you? Like a tax sheet?
No, probably like a guy behind on his child support.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably like the max. Like, they're not giving up any like terrorists or any, you know, any war criminals for me. Like maybe
Singapore deadbeat dads.
Yeah, like they might give up like a guy that's behind on his child support. Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe I get it like a guy that's, I don't know, that's like got a shit ton of parking tickets.
Mm.
Possibly.
Mm. Maybe somebody who abused an animal.
No, they're definitely not giving no animal abusers up for me. Not
puppies over Anthony Smith?
Yeah, no simple assaults, no animal crimes, nothing like that. Like back child support and I don't know. Someone who left like a boot on their car for like a month.
Mm.
Like maybe that guy.
Yeah. That's a fair trade.
You know, I see a boot on a car for the first time the other day.
For real?
Yeah. Like I seen that show, like Parking Wars or whatever, where they're like booting vehicles and stuff.
I've never seen
one in real life. Like they don't, it's not a thing in Nebraska.
Okay.
But I was in Denver training and I have that apartment, and outside the apartment complex there was two cars with those big yellow boots on them and like stickers on the windows and shit. I'm like, that is a real thing. Look at that.
Yeah, it's very city living.
Yeah, is that a normal thing for you guys?
I got hit with one too long ago.
You see them everywhere.
What do they boot your vehicle for? Just like unpaid tickets or like parking parked tickets in the wrong spot?
No, they'll give you a ticket for that, but if you have a ton of tickets they'll boot your car. And then
how do they like find your car?
So what it is when they're running through, they'll be like, you know, like if they were going to give you a ticket for a thing, instead they'll like scan your registration and be like, oh, you owe us like this much money and it's been backdated. They break out the boot right there and then, you know, put the sticker on your window. They also let you know, like in New York here, like if you're parked in a place where you would get a ticket like the next day because your car is booted there, they don't even mess around. Call a tow truck, get it out of there immediately.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah. At least
there'll be a bunch of people writing tickets or writing pieces of, like on sticky notes on your windows, telling you what kind of piece of shit you are. But I don't even know that I've ever gotten a parking ticket ever.
For real?
Never.
Damn.
I mean, I'll park anywhere too. I don't give a shit.
Nebraska sounds awesome.
If there's grass available, I'll park there. If there's no other spot, I'll just park up in the grass.
Damn,
I'll just crawl my big ass truck up there. Like when I take my kid to wrestling, there's never any parking spots. I just park in the field.
Park on the lawn?
Yeah. It's at a school. I just park in the grass. No one says anything.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys, let's take a second here and talk about Roots. Are you looking for the perfect way to start your day and improve your mood, boost your energy levels, and strengthen your immune system? Look no further. Roots Apothecary has developed a range of products that have been proven to have a positive impact on health and performance. Roots Apothecary Adaptive Greens heavily stacked with performance mushrooms like lion's mane and cordyceps, powerful adaptogens like ginseng, bacopa extract, a strong synergy of probiotics, milk thistle, and other botanicals that support improved overall health and performance by improving mind-body resilience to ongoing pressures. A lot of companies are putting adaptogen buzzwords on their labels without delivering ingredients that offer real therapeutic potential. Adaptogens and performance mushrooms only deliver on the reputation when they contain the active compounds that those reputations are built on. Roots Apothecary has been around for 10 plus years with a function first mentality. No chasing novelty trends, no cutting corners, no proprietary blends, and no virtual signaling, no synthetics, and no BS. Their team has worked with thousands of clients over the past decade in every imaginable application of improved health and performance. From the busy mom to the entrepreneur to the elite athlete to the student struggling with social anxieties and everyone in between. Try it out. Head on over to rootsapothecary.com and use promo code BISBING at checkout for 40% off your first order. Once again, that's promo code BISBING for 40% off your first order at rootsapothecary.com.
Yeah. Big one.
Uh-oh.
UFC 293.
Okay.
Dricus du Plessis, most yeah. likely not ready.
He is. He's not ready. That's yeah, what yeah, I hear. Yeah. So, okay. Then it was supposed to be Strickland. And now it's Strickland saying that the UFC's not interested.
Who
so
is
he not going to fight?
We're 6 weeks out. Who the hell is Izzy fighting?
Cannoneer?
Again?
Because it was supposed to. No. No, probably not. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Who else would? Who's in the rankings right now? You got the rankings pulled up?
I just had them a second ago, so they're definitely at one of these tabs. Yeah, let's see here. It's,
I forgot we it, did the Cannoneer thing. Okay.
We got Whitaker, Cannoneer.
So we got Dricus, not ready. Pereira, not in the weight class. Whitaker, just lost. Cannoneer, maybe. Vettori, just lost. Strickland, no Costa, no Brunson, no Dalidze. No. Those are all no's.
It's got to be Sean Strickland.
It's got to be Strickland.
Right? Like, this is definitely maybe a red herring he's throwing at
yeah,
us.
Yeah, maybe he's trolling.
Yeah.
Honestly, he probably pissed the UFC off because he probably figured out what you and I just figured out.
I'm got the only UFC one.
Bent, he's got him bent over a barrel right now.
He's like, all right, you want me Izzy to fly to
fight,
Sydney?
Yeah, if Izzy wants to fight,
his
that's
his
it.
Home at backyard
yeah.
on 6 weeks' notice.
Yeah, that sucks. But that's what happens. Sometimes guys lose opportunities because they think, well, that's just me. That's it. So I want $11 billion because I'm the only one that can do it right now. Mm-hmm. And then the UFC, they'll be the first to tell you to fuck off. And those won't have Izzy fight.
Do you think there's any...
Which would suck because there's no Volkanovski on that card either.
I was going to say, that was my other question. Do you think there's any world in which Volkanovski rushes back from his hand surgery and somehow
like
headlines
two
that
weeks
card?
Ago.
Yeah.
And the fight's 6 weeks away. I don't know. We've seen weirder things. DC did it. DC yep. rushed back and fought Derek Lewis with one hand. He couldn't
I didn't
even
know
throw
that.
He couldn't even, when he fought Derek Lewis, he couldn't even throw a punch.
Damn.
Like he trained that whole time, no not punching. But DC was like, well, it's fucking Derek Lewis. I'll just shoot a takedown. <You know? laughs> But like he was kind of hamstringed in that fight. If he couldn't get a takedown, he couldn't win.
I didn't know. This
really
is the
punch.
First time I've ever heard this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to break the news right now. Michael Bisping's coming out of retirement to fight Israel Adesanya.
Wild.
Imagine.
he can only do that if he lets me corner him, though. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well,
Michael
all right.
Bisping, especially like when he was in his prime, it was a nightmare matchup for Israel Adesanya.
Oh yeah, yeah, dude, just that volume.
Yeah, the high volume, the it's just hard to keep up with.
Stay in your face. I'm not going to give you yeah. space. I'm not going to give you
and
any
Michael,
room
Michael
to operate.
Did this. He has this like unique. It was fascinating to watch him fight. Like he never got disrupted.
Mm-mm.
Like he would even take a pretty hard shot in the middle of a combination, and it was like it never even affected him. It would never throw his timing off. It was really weird. That's a really weird trait to have, to not be able to disrupt someone's tempo. It's unique.
Right. Like to get cracked in the middle of throwing the left hook and still have it be like, I'm throwing this uppercut
and still come
jab.
With the next two or three punches afterwards.
And the head movement still, tipping off. Right.
Yeah. Never disrupted anything else after that. It's, and that's in that's not something that you can be taught. You're just born with that. Because there's plenty of times where I'm like starting to, you can disrupt one punch of mine where I'm like in the middle of a jab. And fuck, you got to restart again, you know? Michael was, I don't know, man. He did a lot of like things like that made him very special.
All right. One other insane possibility to headline that. Alex Pereira gets this win against Jan Blachowicz. So he's coming off a win. Dana says, all right, you got 6 weeks to cut down to 185.
Izzy goes up to 205 to challenge for that belt.
I don't hate that, actually.
I'm just saying, what if Pereira gets a win, which I don't think that he does. Title is vacated. Vacant title, Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira, 205 in Sydney, 6 weeks from now.
I think that might be either of them. Because it's like, why wouldn't he go fight Jan again?
Is he?
For a vacant title, yeah. Really?
We've seen it.
I don't think he wants that either.
No, we've seen it.
That didn't go well for Izzy at all.
No.
Okay.
But Pereira's the monster that he knows.
Yeah.
And he knows he can beat. And finish.
And there's a second title on the line. It's probably the only route he's got to getting that. Huh.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is really interesting.
Okay. So that's all right. Huh. Huh. What are your thoughts on that? Because we didn't talk to you. You weren't on the last episode with Jamal giving up the belt, obviously.
Yeah, man, it was tough. It was really tough. You know, he kept that really close to his vest too. Because even the week that it happened.
You knew about that?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I was around him. Mm. Like he was still able to like kind of push through and walk around a little bit. And then I'd asked him like, hey man, what are the chances I can get you to come out to Denver? You know, come spend a week out in Denver and just train. And just as another big high level, you know, body.
Right.
He was like, oh man, I got to get home. I got this thing to take care of. And I thought that was weird because Jamal's never told me no.
Right.
It's been, all right, this week doesn't work. What about the week after? Or let's check, you know, and then we're checking calendars. We're trying to figure it out. But like, I was like, oh, okay. Well, what about, I was like, well, shit, man, maybe I'll just grab my coaches and another couple training partners. And I'll just come to you. He's like, oh, I got this other thing. And I was just like,
all right.
Is he big timing me?
Like, oh yeah. Oh really, Jamal?
Yeah.
Oh
like,
really?
Like, damn, bro. Like you're too good now. You can't train with me. Like, what the hell are we doing here? And I didn't say that, but I was just like, oh shit, okay. I get it. But I could tell like there was something else. You know what I mean? But I didn't want to push and get into his business or whatever. And then it was like a couple days later. Then he let the news out and I was like, man, why don't you just fucking tell me? You know, it's not like I would, but he didn't tell anybody. So
well, you're media.
Kinda, you know, so I do get kind of treated like that too. Like I get it, I'm the media guy, but I've never outed anybody's personal business, you know what I mean? But I get it. I don't hold it against him. I did think it was weird though, so I just feel for him, man. He's broken up, you know what I mean? He's sad, which I get. It's a really tough injury to come back from, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna need a lot of support and friendships and people to push him and keep him out of that dark place. But he's young, he's determined. You know what I mean? He doesn't know any other way other than to attack it. So I have no doubt he'll be back.
Is it
as far as the division goes? What a mess,
right?
What a disaster. That's a total disaster. I can't even begin to tell you what they're going to do with that. But it is a little bit intriguing that they haven't done anything until after this weekend.
Are you?
Unless they announce something crazy at the presser today.
I was going to say, are you shocked that the belt is not on the line for Jan versus Pereira?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, neither one of them are coming off a win.
All right, fair enough.
You know, Pereira's coming off of a knockout loss, and
Blachowicz is the draw to
coming off a draw, yeah. Right? And a funky win before that.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since I'm a big fan of Blachowicz, but it's been a while since he's had a legitimate win.
Hmm?
Because the win before that was the injury one to
Rakic.
Rakic.
Yeah.
And what was before that? That was
lost to Glover.
Lost to Glover. So like he's, you know, he's lost
1-1-1 in his last three.
One kind of weird, you know, and then and the one win isn't super legitimate. So, no, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay.
What do you think of that fight?
I think that fight's absolutely incredible. I think I did see like a video package that kind of showcased like Jan has had, if I'm not mistaken, Jan has had a number of problems with a left hook in his career, including the Glover fight. I think the first time he fought Jimmy Manoa, he lost to him and then he beat him in the rematch. And the left hook was a big problem in that.
I think he had some problems with Gustafsson.
Gustafsson, that was one of the ones. And Pereira, that's his like most dominant weapon.
It's his money shot.
That sneaky left hook. So, you know, like for two guys who I see as like, these guys are both tanks. They're both, you know, have tremendous power. Like if there's just one thing that I think matches up really well, it's that versus, you know, if Jan can get Pereira down and keep him there.
I don't think he wants to.
No.
I would play devil's avocado here.
I like it.
I think that Pereira's ability to land his left hook is dependent on his ability to manage the distance and range with his kicking.
Okay.
So we've seen Blachowicz do very, very well with guys that are big kickers. Rockhold, Gustafsson a little bit back when he was younger. Izzy. I think that he did really well dealing with it with Rakic. So I've said this 100 times and I'm going to continue to say it. I think Jan Blachowicz is the best kick defender in the entire UFC. He'll go shin to shin with people. He defends head kicks really well. He just does a good job of not letting people establish the range and distance with their kicks, which is why he was able to keep it so close with Izzy on his feet. Izzy's a far better striker and far more technical than Jan Blachowicz, but everything he does very well. He's not super, he's not wild and crazy. He doesn't have a whole deep list of techniques that he goes to, but he keeps his hands in the right spot. He is very basic. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, which makes him tough to fight because he's not really ever out of position. So I think that he's going to, you know, Alex kind of depends on that calf kick to really get his rhythm. And then he starts landing that left hook. I think Pereira's going to have a tough time getting comfortable at the range he wants to fight at with Blachowicz.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if Blachowicz gets on top, that's a wrap.
Right. Yeah. That's no.
If Izzy can double leg knee tap you're
not getting up with Jan Blachowicz on top of you. You're just not. No, you're staying there.
Best case scenario is that's just where you end the round.
Mm-hmm.
It's just surviving it at that point is the problem. And I want to see how the durability changes at 205 for Pereira. Does it at all? Because he was hurt really bad in the first Izzy fight. Really, really bad. And three more seconds, Izzy finishes him right then.
For sure.
And then viciously knocked out after that. And he is hittable. He does take shots, especially when he gets a little bit overzealous and a little bit wild and crazy and he wants to go in for the finish. Izzy is incredibly accurate and really well timed. But we're talking power for power. They're not, Blachowicz and Izzy aren't even close to each other. Blachowicz is much more powerful and has to, but that allows him to be significantly less accurate and significantly not as well timed as Izzy and get away with it because he's just got so much power, he can just punch through shit. So, I'm wondering if the weight cut, not having such a tough weight cut, is going to benefit Alex and his ability to absorb damage better.
Do you think this is too fast to be coming back from getting? Yes. I mean, he got flatlined.
You don't even have to finish the question. Yes. Way too fast.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he was fighting like Paul Craig, then fine. But that's no knocking against Paul. He's just not known as a power striker.
Right.
Like you defend the grappling, try to figure that out. That's a problem for sure. But like, he's not going to take your head off probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
it's not legendary Polish power.
No, it's not. And it's not even like Blachowicz is a big kicker, but like, he's not like a Johnny Walker who like Johnny's probably not going to engage with you in the boxing. You know, it's what we've kind of seen as Johnny's got to the highest level. He's done a much better job of like using his range and his distance and staying away from like the big shots because he's had his own durability problems. Like, Blachowicz is going to wade right in. He doesn't give a shit. He's going to go punch for punch with you, probably.
And he's not going to let you get your rhythm going.
He's not.
Damn.
He's not. He's going to be in his face the whole time.
You sold me.
Well, I mean, how many people have we seen Pereira knock out backing up?
True.
It's tough to do. Izzy knocks people backing up, and that's what makes him special. Like, there's not that many people that are, like, Stipe can do it. We've seen him do it before. Chuck Liddell used to do it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Rampage could do it, but, like, there's not that many people that are really proficient at knocking other people out moving backwards. It's just not a, it's not a natural movement.
And you think Jan's going to be the one who's dictating pace in this one?
For sure. Okay. 100%. 100%. Because Jan is also not a guy that's going to do well backing up. He's got to move forward. And look what Glover did to him backing up. It's just, that's not how he fights. But everyone that he's done a better job since he got knocked out by Thiago of not blitzing so much. Like, he kind of ran into that shot and ate it, you know, full force plus his weight behind it. So he doesn't really blitz, but I think he's going to get right inside a kicking range and not give Alex any space.
Interesting.
Which is what I would do.
Huh?
Just get inside a kicking range. It seems counterintuitive to what's natural, which is to stay away from the danger. But it actually puts you in a much more dangerous spot as you're pulling away to the end of those punches. I would much rather look. Even Strickland took the left hook from way far away,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of pounced into it. If you force him to have to sit down on it, it's not going to be as powerful as him being able to leap into that left hook.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it's just like if you're fighting a big kicker, like Rakic completely buried my leg in that first round. Mm-hmm. Like, crush me in those first two or three kicks. And he never kicked me again after that because I just stepped deep into his range. Mm. So as soon as every round started, I just got as close as I could to him so he couldn't kick me. It's kind of this, like, Pereira's kind of the same way. If you just smother him, it's not going to be as powerful.
Mm. Do you think, is there anything that can be taken away from Glover being Pereira's, like, number one guy? Like, somebody who has gone out there and beaten Jan and can literally give his student the blueprint for something he's done before. No?
No, because Pereira can't do what Glover did. Like, he can't do the things that Glover can do. Glover's a different beast, too, because not only do you have to be careful for it, I think what kind of threw Jan off, so he was up against the fence. It's exactly what threw me off when Glover dropped me with the same left hook. And I don't typically have problems with left hooks, but it comes from an odd angle. Like, it kind of goes outside your vision. It comes in really tight. So you're expecting to cover it here, and it comes right through.
Actually on the chin.
Yeah, it comes right on the tip of your chin. So it looks wider than it actually is. But he gives this up and down motion where you can't tell if he's shooting. So, like, there's the threat of a takedown there, too. So you're, like, you're kind of doing this where, like, you don't know whether he's shooting, whether he's punching. Because if you defend the takedown, he throws the punch, he's going to knock you out. If you defend the punch and he shoots, now you're up against the fence and he's around your waist. Last place you want to be in the world is under Glover Teixeira.
Of course.
That's but there is no threat with that. Like, there is no takedown threat with Alex Pereira at all.
Interesting. Huge fan.
Love his game. He's one-dimensional. 100%. And I'm sure 205, he's going to be harder to take down for sure. But if he's 50% harder, Jan Blachowicz still takes him down. It's just, if he's 50%.
Jan's wrestling is that nice.
No, Pereira's just not that good. His wrestling, I mean, I'm not saying he's not that good. I'm saying Israel Adesanya
was able to get him.
Was able to take him down. Like,
fair enough.
Fairly easily. Like, it kind of body lock, knee tab, you know, went down. Like, Jan Blachowicz is a great wrestler. He's a great grappler. I think that if the problem is that Pereira knows that he's the better grappler, so he's gonna be mindful of that. But now we're talking about the threat of a takedown that I was just talking about. It's like, it's gonna open up Jan striking, I think, more because there is the threat of a takedown. Like, when Pereira fought Strickland, he didn't have to worry about that because Strickland's not going to shoot. So he can open up in his striking. He can leap into left hooks. He can overextend on right hands and get away with it because he knows that Strickland's not going to shoot or likely isn't. And if he does, it'll be a panic shot. If Blachowicz gets uncomfortable, he will start wrestling for sure. I just wonder how long it's going to take.
He can probably make a move from there. Yeah, I'm not. I don't remember if Bruno Silva had any kind of wrestling or grappling things there. But I'm just wondering, like, why that's the one that was able to get Pereira to a decision.
He's tough. Yeah. He's tough. Bruno's super tough. I don't know. I don't know. I think Bruno just made it a fight because now, like, we've seen Bruno like hurt and knocked out with like not nearly as hard shots as I think he took in that Pereira fight. He did stay safe. He did close the distance. He clinched a lot when Pereira. I think that that's some of it, is that he did clinch a lot. Anytime Pereira would start to open up, he'd grab him and clinch him real quick, bang him up in the dirty boxing. They kind of fight there for a little bit and then they back out again. So I think that's probably a lot of it, which I think, you know, starts to open up game plans for other people. Like, you kind of go back and watch where, you know, Alex has had some problems. It's been with guys that are willing to clinch. Because he is a kickboxer. He's not like a, you don't see him really going to the Thai. He's not really a Muay Thai guy. He's not going to Thai clinch and elbows that much.
Right. And this is only going to be his, it's only going to be his 10th mixed martial arts fight.
Which is amazing.
It's nuts.
It's amazing. What a specimen.
Dude, at 10 fights in, like, you were you still just fighting house shows in Iowa?
Dude,
in Nebraska?
I was lucky to not be fighting in strip clubs.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, strip clubs and barns and convention centers with dirt floors. Like, definitely wasn't in the UFC.
No, you weren't the co-main event of a numbered card?
No. Nope, I was not. After already being the champion.
It's nuts.
Which is crazy. All right, we're going to take a quick break here to talk about Factor. America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit can help you fuel up fast with flavorful, nutritious, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. Too busy with summer plans to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals and ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back outside and soak up the warm weather. Ready to feel your best while making the most out of your summer adventures? Stick to your wellness goals with premium, ready-to-eat meals featuring high-quality ingredients such as broccoli, leeks, and asparagus. Treat yourself to 34-plus weekly restaurant-quality options like bruschetta shrimp risotto, green goddess chicken, and grilled steakhouse filet mignon ready in just 2 minutes. With Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of our delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for our product sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in our meals. This July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/believe50 and use code BELIEVE50 to get 50% off. That's code BELIEVE50 at factormeals.com/believe50 to get 50% off.
All right, man. Do you want to cover this main event?
No.
Okay. No. Okay.
No, I think we just skip it.
I agree.
I'm joking. Jesus.
UFC Nashville. Oh, okay. No, you didn't want to get to it?
No, there's really, I honestly don't have that much to say about it. Like,
okay.
We've already seen it once. I think that, you know what? I do have a little bit to say about it. It's just a hell of a fight. Like, I'm just excited to watch it. But, I mean, we're doing like super technical breakdowns on Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier. Like, let's just enjoy it. You know what I mean? Here's something I did find kind of watching film and tape and stuff. You know what Dustin Poirier does really well?
What's that?
That I don't think a lot of people have picked up on. He gives the illusion that he's in a brawl, like that he wants to get into this firefight, but he's not taking part in it. He tricks people into thinking that we're just, you know, we're going to draw a line in the sand, let's knuckle up and just let him fly. But he's not actually doing that. He did it to Gaethje in the last fight where Gaethje tried really hard to stay technical. He's throwing the leg kicks. And then Dustin, you know, starts flipping his hair and pulling his shorts up. And then he like gives this illusion to the other fighter that we're just brawling now. Let's just brawl and throw down. But he's not. He's super technical in there, and he's not throwing caution to the wind and going punch for punch with people. I think if Justin Gaethje shows up the same version of himself that fought Fazeev, this is a much tighter fight, in my opinion, because that Justin Gaethje is hard to beat, yep. In my opinion.
Is it me, though, or did that Justin Gaethje kind of feel like there wasn't much left in the tank at the end of three rounds?
I feel like that's every Justin Gaethje.
Right, but this is now a five-round fight.
He always looks tired. Justin Gaethje looks tired in round one.
All right.
But he doesn't necessarily fight like he's tired. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what it is. Like, he just always looks tired. but the way that those two fight, I think they're going to both be equally as tired. Like, they just fight at a super high pace. I do think Dustin Poirier probably has a better gas tank overall. I think, like, who do you give the power advantage to there?
Probably Justin. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, all right. I think Gaethje probably, just without looking at it, I do kind of want to look, but I feel like he has more, like, you know, a flash knockouts or, you know, like one punch KOs, just like from a pure power perspective, where I feel like Dustin does damage over time and puts guys right into situations where he can club and sub them more than he,
well,
like,
I think that
cracks.
I think
them.
Dustin is probably a little more technical boxing wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the kicks are going to be huge. Like, we're going to have to find, like, it's going to be a big deal right away if Poirier can deal with the leg kicking of Gaethje, especially in that opposite stance. I mean, Gaethje just murdered his leg for that entire fight. You know what I mean? As long as it lasted, was it fourth round, I think. I don't know. This one's really tough for me. I don't know how this goes. I think that the version of Justin Gaethje that I've seen using his jab, staying on the outside, being super technical, countering really, really well, and just really minding his P's and Q's and not getting outside of himself is slightly less exciting, but much more efficient and much more effective. I don't know. I think Poirier is going to be able to pull him into one of those brawls because he does it to everybody. Does it to everybody. Even Connor a little bit, who never gets into those kind of firefights. For whatever reason, he's able to goad people into fighting a way that is not the most beneficial for them and the most exciting for us.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it is, like, is that just a thing that now I really just want to go back and watch a bunch of Dustin Poirier fights, but is it a thing where he kind of does that, like, Holloway Lamas thing where he just, like, you know, plants that foot and just starts throwing a combination and guys are like, all right, cool. We're just going toe to toe.
And then he'll bail
and he'll just circle off.
And then he's circling off and countering. Yeah. Like, he's pulling people into messes and he's not taking part in it. You know, it's like, he'll throw three or four lead hooks in a row, throw something big. And then as soon as they start to throw, like, all right, we're going, motherfucker. Then he's hitting an angle and he's countering on the outside. Like, it's super slick. It's really smart too.
I'm super excited for this.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that fight. I cannot fucking wait.
Hell yeah. Do you think, all right, so this was a lot of people have been talking about this earlier in the show, the altitude, right? Gaethje trains in Denver, which I think is higher than Salt Lake City. It's like, he's got to be used to it. Dustin's been there apparently on the ground in SLC for 2 weeks now, I think, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to help definitely acclimating to the altitude here, but it's not the same as training and sleeping at altitude like Gaethje has been for his whole career. Again, the way that you fight makes a difference. It doesn't matter how good your cardio is. If you fight like you're on fire, then like Gaethje fights like he's on fire and he's got to they won't put the fire out until the fight's over. It doesn't matter how good your cardio is. You got to figure it out.
Fair enough. Obviously
trying to manage that the best you can over five rounds is a big deal, but how long is the turnaround? Well, never mind. We already have Oliveira in that fight. Like, Winner probably gets a title shot, I would suspect.
Yeah. Must be.
So, I mean, do you think that they come in a little bit more reserved and you know, a little bit more focused on, I don't know, trying to not do anything stupid? Like, do you think they're more worried about pleasing the fans or getting a title shot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because these are two guys who've both had the interim title, right? And they both fought Khabib for the title. Mm-hmm. Do you really think either one of them is that hyped about fighting? Like, I know they both say, right? Like, this guy's not Khabib. It wouldn't go down like that if I fought him. And it's like, okay. But do you, in your heart of hearts, believe that that is the case? That you know, facing Islam Makhachev is the you know, like a driving factor for these guys? Like, do you think
it's
this
gotta
is something?
Be? Yeah? Especially after the Volkanovski fight. Like, they made Islam look human.
Yeah.
You know, so
Khabib never got made to look that human.
Nobody made Khabib look human. But Volkanovski made him look human. Like, defensive takedowns. You can hit him. You can hurt him. You know, you can, like, I don't know. I think, you know, he had Volkanovski in some of the worst positions possible, and he was able to fight through it and still continue. Like, I think that was probably motivating for guys like Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier.
In that case, I'm going to say, I don't know, to me at least, like, the guy who has the better, like, claim for a championship, the one who's, like, quote-unquote, put in his dues more or I think has been more championship-driven has to be Dustin Poirier.
See, and I kind of seen it as the opposite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it seems more – it seems Gaethje's more title-focused because you don't hear him talk about it that much. But he seems more title-focused now. Like, he was able to get up for a guy like Fazeev and completely kind of changed his approach to a fight. Why is he doing that? Why would he do that? He has a guy that's completely willing to stay in front of him and throw shots. Why change his style and be a little bit more technical and game plan averse? Why do that? The only reason he would do that is if he wants a title.
Yeah, like, he needs to show that new wrinkle. This is the new Justin Gaethje.
Well, not even that he has to show it. He has to learn it. And he's got to be able to do it at a high level against a guy that not a lot of people know. Like, it's got to be hard to be Justin fucking Gaethje fighting Rafael Fazeev that nobody really knows. And you're like the highlight champion of the world. Like,
right.
It's got to be hard to get up for that. But if you're chasing a title and you're just working on getting better in the meantime, it makes a lot of sense to me. Wild.
I don't know. The Poirier side, though, it's like he fought every killer at 145, every killer at 155 for the last, what are we going on, 15 years now?
Yeah.
Like, his run in the UFC is much deeper and much longer than a lot of people realize.
For sure.
The only thing that kind of taints it a little bit for me is, like, I feel like there was a point where he, like, had the choice to fight Conor in the trilogy or fight for the title, and he chose the Conor fight instead.
No, I think he chose a big old fat paycheck.
Right. Yeah. But money over the title
I get what you're saying. That's what I mean. Like,
I don't think Justin's ever made a move like that.
No, I don't think he would. I don't think he would.
All right. Maybe he is. Look, we'll see. Got the altitude on his side and he might be the more.
Oh, I'm not. I don't even know if I can make that pick. I don't even. It's just, that's just how I look at it. We should make picks really quick before we do questions, though.
I like it.
Let's do all five. Brian, where you at, fool?
Here I am.
Here I am.
For this fight, I think if Justin Gaethje goes out and fights like he usually
does. Let's start at the beginning.
Oh, we're not going to do the prelim headliner? Because I know nothing about Gabriel Bonfim.
You know nothing about Bonfim?
I know literally nothing about him.
He's a monster.
Is he a beast?
Who's he fighting again?
Trevin Giles.
Oh, yeah, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
That's a really good fight.
I would imagine
the main card.
The prelim headliner is going to be okay.
Yeah,
so it's a pretty
good fight. Lewis.
Yeah, Bonfim is good.
Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland, first fight on the main card.
I've counted Kevin Holland out a lot, but I think I should stop doing that because he's pretty great. I'm going to give it to Kevin Holland over Michael Chiesa.
You know, Kiss is my homie. Like, I just, even if, no matter what I actually would think, I'm always gonna ride with Kiesa. It's my coworker. It's my homie.
Hell yeah, dog.
Got to.
Well, okay. Yeah, then in that case, I'm also going to go Kevin Holland because, you know, somebody on the panel has chosen Michael Chiesa. So,
all right, there we go. Next fight.
I got faith in Tony Ferguson. I think that everybody's counting him out because he got cracked, but I think Tony Ferguson's going to surprise everybody. 5 wins in a championship.
Harrington.
I mean, 5 fights, not 5 wins. 5 fights is.
You heard me.
I would love 5 fights from Tony Ferguson. So yeah, me too. Why not? I'm going to say Tony Ferguson gets it done.
Well, Tony Ferguson is the captain of Vayner Sports.
Of what?
Vayner Sports. My management team, bro.
Oh, is he? He's the captain.
He's the fucking captain of the team.
Okay.
And I'm riding with the captain.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Green does win. He is also a fucking monster. Especially
Bobby Green is an absolute monster.
In his last few fights, he's been very impressive.
That's my guy. I love Bobby Green, but he is not the captain of Vayner Sports. That's who I have to go with.
All right. Stephen Thompson versus Michel Pereira.
What do you think, Brian?
I don't know. I like Pereira, but I think Stephen Thompson... I mean, Stephen Thompson's last fight was wild. Really love watching Stephen Thompson fight. And I think if you don't just get in there and smother him with wrestling, he's going to beat you up. Like, it's not even a question.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. If your plan isn't to sprint across the octagon and grab onto him, you're going to have a tough time beating Stephen Thompson.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I think it's literally one guy. I mean, I guess technically the Darren Till fight, which was a very questionable decision, but the the Pettis fight is the only one I can remember where it's just two guys standing up and trading, and somehow Anthony Pettis hit the most insane Superman punch of all time. Yeah. I don't think Pereira necessarily has that in his back pocket, so I'm going to say Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, I'm going Stephen Thompson. There's not too many people are going to stand in front of that guy and win.
I don't think there's anybody.
Sometimes people get caught, and that's just how it goes. But yeah, by and large, Stephen Thompson will win all those exchanges.
I think he beats most people like in a straight, like a karate fight. Stephen Thompson absolutely whoops the shit out of everybody.
Everybody.
Then we got Yan versus Alex P.
Alex P.
I think I got to go
Alex
with
Alex P. Keaton.
I'm going Blachowicz.
Yeah,
I'm picking Blachowicz.
That's probably the smart bet, but I think Alex is gonna get it, and then we're gonna get that miracle, light heavyweight.
We're gonna look like geniuses when that happens.
Heavyweight Izzy versus Alex.
I'm telling the editor to pull that clip right now, just in case. Right. Just in case. If we have that to release Monday morning, dude,
we'll look like geniuses.
Puts Conor McGregor to shame. Mystic who?
Mystic BYM.
I mean, look, I came into this show 100% convinced it was going to be Alex Pereira, and over the Jan discussion, which, you know, I really did change my mind. So I'm going to say Jan.
There we go.
Main event.
Got this main is a event. Tough one.
I think, like I was saying before,
the fans win.
I win. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you need a coin to flip for this one? Or
yeah, kind of.
That is pretty much it. I think if Justin Gaethje goes in and tries to fight like he usually does, just like a berserker barbarian on mushrooms, I think Dustin Poirier is going to pick him apart.
That's the problem. It's which Justin Gaethje shows up. And I keep saying this. If the Justin Gaethje shows up that fought Fazeev rounds 2 and 3, I think he's really hard to beat. If he goes out there.
Yeah.
Like a straight serial killer and just goes crazy, Dustin Poirier will pick him apart.
Absolutely.
I'm going to believe that Justin Gaethje is going to take the advice of Trevor Whitman, and he's going to fight smart and technical, and he's going to attack the leg. He's going to fight behind a jab, and he's going to let them things go. But I would not be shocked to see Dustin Poirier rip that fucking beautiful lettuce across his face, pull those shorts up, and just, you know, that's the international, that's the Dustin Poirier international sign for you just done fucked up. The second he fixes his hair and pulls those shorts up,
you're in trouble.
You gonna get.
I am gonna pick. I'm gonna pick over 2.5 rounds in this fight. That's gonna be my official pick.
You think so?
I do. I think that traditionally it's very terrifying to bet the over in a Justin Gaethje fight. It'll just give you, you know, it'll give you heartburn and you know, possibly take years off your life. But you will be pretty profitable in the long run because typically, Justin does like to play with his food. So mm-hmm. and he has one hell of a chin on him. So he's not getting kicked out of there very quickly, and he's not going to finish the fight that quick. So hold your breath. Take the over 2.5. If you have to pick a side. Yeah. Justin Gaethje. Let's go. Altitude strong.
Let's go. All right. If you got any questions, send them into
bympod@gmail.com.
That's where we go.
Yeah.
And if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps us out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode comes out. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad free and totally uncensored, just for this month, we got a great promo code BYM30. Gets you 30 days free to gasdigital.com, where you can check out over 20 great shows on the network.
We got a new app. Go check that out too.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah.
We got an app.
Oh, dude, it's fun. Dog.
Hell it's, yeah.
I actually like well. It.
All right. Yeah. So the first question we got today, I pulled a bunch of them. I forgot what this guy's asking about, but this one is from Richard Fisher.
Okay, Richard.
Oh, what's up, Fisher? Dick Fish?
Yo, guys. What's good? My name's Richard Fisher. I'm from Burnt-upon-Trent in England. Mark, if you remember me, but I was that crazy fan that asked you to sign his legs so I could tattoo it on myself. I just show you. There we go. I think it's looking crisp. do you guys mind them crazy fan interactions? Like, does it bother you? Does it annoy you? Or is it like, no fan alive will ever annoy me? No, in all seriousness, I started training Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu probably like last November time. And I've run 3 times a week and do that twice a week, but I'd still say my cardio isn't quite up to scratch. Just wondering if I need tips. Any help would be great. I love the podcast. Big love. Thanks.
He said, no fan alive.
Dude, that rules.
Okay, first of all, that tattoo is amazing. And if you need me to send you a signature just on a piece of paper to get that tattooed on your leg, I guess what I'm getting at is I'm going to be really disappointed if you tell me no. And I will send an email, send it with your address, and I'll send it. You can get it tattooed right next to Mike's. Not nearly as big. The count's much more important.
Bro, that is wild.
That's fucking crazy.
Dude, the fact that that kid came up to Mike and said, hey, sign this thing on my leg and I'll get it tattooed. And Mike went, sure, I'm going to do the first signature on the Declaration of Independence. Like, I'm going to eat up a 30-year quad.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't mind the fan interactions. I don't mind the crazy ones, as long as they're respectful. Like, don't run up to me when I'm sitting at a meal with my family and be super crazy. But I don't mind like just a tap and like, hey, can I get a quick picture? Like, cause you never, like, I understand that if like, I don't know, if I ran into Michael Jackson and he was eating dinner with his kids, I would not give a shit. I'm going to go ask that man for a picture. Cause I never know what I would be in an opera. Maybe Michael Jackson's a bad example, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you never know when you're going to see that person again. Right. So I don't mind as long as they're respectful about it. If I'm having dinner and if I respectfully say no, then you got to just accept that. Not that I ever have. I think there's been one time I've ever told a fan no, for a picture. And it's cause he was being an asshole to my best friend and he just didn't know that I knew him. He was like talking shit to my best friend and then, oh my God, Anthony's gonna get a picture. And I was like, no, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
As you said, respectfully.
Respectfully. Yeah. Respectfully go fuck yourself.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I can attest to that. I know we hung out for a bit after the MSG card and there was like, I don't know, I feel like every bar we went to for that whole weekend, there was like, mm-hmm. you know, at least a couple of fans who came up who were
Three blocks of MSG during an MSG card weekend. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a fan.
Yeah.
That's true.
Couldn't have been cooler. And I watched the interaction. Obviously, Anthony Smith, very happy to meet new people. So
for sure.
Come say hi.
Absolutely. We got another one, Brian?
We sure do.
And what was, he had a cardio question. He said
I missed the question.
He said he's been training Muay Thai and boxing or something for almost a year. He's running three times a week, but he's not seeing his cardio go up. Do you have any tips for him on how to improve your cardio for fighting?
Have more sex, run more.
Yeah, well, no, the long runs aren't going to help your cardio as much as you guys probably think they are. It's good for your like aerobic base, but the long, slower paced runs, are those alone are not going to help you as much as you guys probably think they will. If you start doing sprints, like sprint, like interval sprints, or like Tabata type of workouts where it's, you know, intense sprinting of whatever type of workout it is, and then the 10 seconds off, 20 on, 10 off, 20 on, 10 off. Well, you do that for, you know, five minute rounds, like your cardio is going to go through the roof. Also with your kickboxing, your sparring, you're going to have to just up your, the best way to get in really good shape to fight is to fight. And you just do it a lot at a high pace. I spar a lot, at least I have been these last two camps. But it's not super high impact, but it's really, really intense, super high volume, high pace, but not really super hard shots to the head. So maybe pick up your, I would say add the Tabata type of workouts or the sprint intervals, and then add in just up the intensity and the pace of your sparring for sure.
Sick.
Or even your mitt rounds, your pad rounds or whatever they are. Hmm. Anyways.
Next question is from Jacob.
You're Domino's?
Oh, that's so
Yo, what up, you iron pod, Jake here. Another question. My question for you guys is, do you guys think the UFC will ever adopt a format in which there is grappling in the pay-per-view or like the prelims like you guys are talking about in your last episode? Hell yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Because they've just created their own platform. So like a lot of shows will like One or Ryzen or whatever will mix in grappling, will mix in kickboxing. Like the UFC is like, you know what? You want to see slap fighting? We'll just create this whole other platform for it. You want to see grappling? We just build this whole UFC Fight Pass Invitational. We'll throw George St. Pierre on it. Like, they've just created their own individual platforms, which is smart, just to create their own individual finger of that, you know, that revenue, that business coming in. They just make it its own thing. So instead of trying to use the UFC fans to build that thing by throwing it on a fight card, they just, you know, use the UFC machine to build its own independent platform. So I don't think that we probably ever see that.
Right. And it's like, it does feel way more fitting to have like a you versus Glover Teixeira on, you know, a Fight Pass Invitational. Mm-hmm. That's going to get somebody like me, who's like, I've watched maybe one or two EBIs, but I'm not super into grappling. But if it's UFC guys that I know who fought each other before rematching grappling, that's interesting. I'm not going to be super hyped if in the middle of a 6-hour fight card,
because
I watch every fight from the first one on the prelims to the main card. Like, so just throwing in, you know, a 15 minute grappling thing, it doesn't do too much for me as a UFC fan.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree. All right. Three shot, Brian.
We got one more question.
Ooh, hell
and
yeah.
We have an announcement from a special guest. So I'm going to play this one from Tyler Simpson.
Hey guys, quick question. Where do you see the women's featherweight division going? Amanda Nunes retired and they don't have rankings. Great pod. Have fun.
Okay.
That was the announcement?
That was a weird announcement.
Oh, that was the question.
Okay. I don't know because there's not a lot of girls at 145. They did just book a 145 pound fight though that I worked a couple weeks ago or last week.
Norma Dumont. Yeah.
Yeah. And she looked great.
She looked awesome.
You're going to lose out on someone like Norma Dumont who she can fight. She's mean. She's nasty. She's got crazy power. She's aggressive. She's not terrible to look at. She's marketable. I think they're probably going to wait and see what happens. And what? What's so funny?
I was just thinking, you mean old dump truck Dumont? Yeah, she's pretty cool.
That's not what I said.
That's not what you said. That's 100% what my dump brain said.
That's not what I said.
Look,
I think that they're probably going to wait and see if they can build that division. I would imagine if they can't, I think they'll get away with it or they'll do away with it. But if they can bring in five or six girls or build up five or six girls, I think that they'll keep it.
Well, it's like, look, Kayla Harrison's never making 135.
Never.
If Ronda Rousey was to come back, she's probably not making 135.
So it does make sense to have 145 pounds.
Let's have it there hanging out and just see what
happens. Just in case.
Just in case.
And let's build up Norma Dumont. Right. Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case. So Harrington can look at her dump truck. All right. What's this announcement? I'm ready for it.
All right. We got a special announcement here from Roland Vixa.
Roland!
New hair.
That's all it was?
Yeah, that's all he had to say.
Play it again. Oh, God.
New hair.
He's so pumped.
Oh, man. He rules.
Oh, shit. All right, guys. Well, I missed you too. I missed getting on here for everyone that is following us. I apologize. We apologize for a little bit of inconsistency lately. It's a lot of things that can't be helped. And I don't make it any easier when I'm in training camp and schedules change and I'm traveling. And so I will take my fair share of responsibility for that.
But as always, it's my fault.
Well, that's where I was getting as always. It's 100% Harrington's fault. I'll take a little bit of his blame just to make it easier on him.
Don't put that evil on you.
I know. You know what? I'm a man of the people, though. So, I'm glad we got one out for you guys. I look forward to seeing Mike on Monday. I miss my homie. So, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the fights. And see you next week.